Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and we're live on the air right now with The Basic Gospel. Keep listening, and you'll hear how The Basic Gospel intersects with your daily life and how the Word of God can help you experience freedom and true life in Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or if there's something you'd like to talk about, call right now, 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's 1-800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, and we certainly welcome you to this Monday edition of the program. 1-800-677-9377 is the number to call. And we would love for you to call early in the program so that we can get to as many questions or comments as we possibly can on today's broadcast. Again, the number 1-800-677-9377. Love this passage out of Mark chapter 12, Richard. Jesus is saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. You know, when you look at the law and you look at those Ten Commandments, it really juices down to this, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That our responsibility is to love God and to love others. And the question is, how are we doing on both counts? How are we doing in the loving God category, and how are we doing in the loving others category? And you realize, wow, we're toast, aren't we?
Sure are.
We cannot muster love up for God apart from knowing his love from us. And we certainly can't love others apart from knowing God's love for us. So it all hinges on God's love for mankind. It's not that we love God, but he loved us first. And if we will receive the love of God, something's going to happen inside of us that will enable us to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. He initiates love. We respond to love. And when we do, something happens inside of us. And the place that that starts, us responding to the love of God, is in forgiveness. We know we've sinned. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I don't think there's very many people on this planet that deny that fact.
Yeah.
There's certainly some that do.
Mm-hmm.
There's some that say there's no such thing as sin. But for the most part, most people agree that they're sinners, that they've made mistakes, that they've done things that are wrong, that they've sinned. And they also know that sin carries punishment, that sin deserves to be punished. You know, sometimes we think, you know, negative circumstances in life are the punishment for the sins that we've committed in the past, but that's not true. The wages of sin is death. Death is the only punishment that God doles out, and he delivered that punishment to Jesus. Jesus took that punishment for us once and for all, so that we could go free. And when we understand that, then we've been a recipient of the love of God, because that's exactly where God demonstrated his love for us, at the cross of Jesus Christ. When we receive that love in forgiveness, something happens inside of our hearts that makes us love God for the first time, makes us realize that God loves us for the first time, and moves us in the right direction. That's why this is so vitally important for us to really finalize the cross.
Absolutely.
Well, 1-800-677-9377 is the number. Call right now. We would love to hear from you. We're going to start in the Bronx and talk with Glenn, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Glenn.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hi. Thank you. Yeah, I've been struggling with the idea of what it means to give God my life, what that looks like, because I think I've been trying to live the Christian life for a long time and may have been trying to live it in my own strength, and you know, I just don't know I don't want to be too passive either, so you know, I'm trying to find the balance between being too passive and letting go and letting God. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, Glenn, there's, you know, there's effort in resting and walking by faith. I mean, the hardest thing we do as individuals is to trust Jesus. That is not a passive activity. That is a very active role in our lives. And the reason it's an active role is because the world tells us to live completely different from that. It offers something totally at the other end of the spectrum. So faith is foreign to us. And so we need to develop the habit of walking by faith. And that takes some energy. That takes some effort. The other side of that coin is Jesus Christ is not passive. Sometimes I think we picture Jesus Christ as that scene where, you know, the disciples are on the boat and Jesus is in the front and, you know, there's this storm going on and Jesus is just up there taking a nap, sound asleep. And sometimes we think that Jesus comes to live inside of us, and when he does, he just takes a nap and it's up to us. But that's not true. Jesus Christ is alive. He's the resurrected one. And so he is actively working inside of us. And so since he's active, that means as we are trusting him and abiding in him, we're going to be active as well. But the activity isn't going to be done in the energy of the flesh. It's going to be done by the power of God's Spirit. Does that, right. make sense to you, Glenn?
It does. It does. It's just been hard. I don't know whether it's just been hard for me letting go, trusting God, you know, in every, you know, because I think I've tended to trust, you know, like my fasting and things like that, which have not really brought me the desired results that I've wanted. And so it's just, I guess it's like a death, letting go, you know.
Well, and that could be the very issue when you say I'm not getting the desired results that I want. Then you're trying to initiate to God and have him respond to your request, your desires, to bring about the things that you want in life. And I think that's what you need to let go of. What you want in life is going to be a far cry from what God has for you in Christ Jesus. So you need to kind of put the results on the back burner and leave those in God's hands and be pleased with the results that he brings about. Like I said, we are control freaks. We like to make things happen in life that are going to make us happy. And so we think we know what those things are. And so we do our best to try to control people, try to control God to bring about those results. And that's where we just have to let go and say, you know, God knows me best. He's demonstrated that time and time again. So I'm going to trust that what he has for me is going to really and truly meet the deepest needs of my heart and bring me the greatest amount of satisfaction and reward as a human being.
Well, can I just say, I agree with you. But the, you know, the hardest part is when you're trying to do good things. You know, when you're looking, when you want to do good things and you want to please God. You know, and
well, Glenn, are you in Christ?
Yes.
You are in Christ. Well, guess what? God's already pleased with you.
Amen. I received that.
Yeah,
thank you, brother.
You're welcome, Glenn. His desire for you was to come to life in Jesus Christ. That's happened, hasn't it?
Right.
You've been made alive. So you're a child of God, and you're pleasing to him. And to move further down that road, what he wants you to do is just to listen to Jesus and abide in him. That's the most pleasing thing you can do as a human being. And with that, you're going to see the results of God's Spirit lived out in you, his fruit lived out in you.
Amen. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome, Glenn. Thanks for your call. We sure appreciate it.
Okay.
Well, let's go to Ruth in New York listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Ruth.
Hi, how are you?
Doing fine. Nice to hear from you again.
Thank you. I said I would call you back, right?
And you did, and I'm glad you did.
Yes. I'm just going to ask these questions, and I'm going to hang up.
Okay.
Okay. The The first one is Psalm 51:1 and Psalm 32:5. And also the question, the young man that asked Jesus, if his brother sinned against him, how many times were he supposed to forgive him? Mm-hmm. And he said, 7 times. But he said, 70 times 7. Mm-hmm. So the 51 and the 32:5, Psalm 51 and 32:5.
Okay. Well, Ruth, we sure appreciate the call. And this forgiveness thing is a big thing, isn't it, Ruth?
Yes, it is. But yes. Psalm 32:5, you have your Bible, right?
I sure do.
Okay, and 51.
Yeah.
51.
Okay.
Okay.
Well,
and answer those questions for me. I'll just hang up and listen to you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much,
thanks,
Ruth. And I appreciate you calling back. That means a lot to me.
Thank you.
Okay. God bless. I'm going to put Ruth on hold, and if we can, I want to send her a copy of this book, Love Is, and
yes,
hopefully that will be a big help. Well, the passages that she mentions are key passages from the Old Testament, and they're passages that many people look to in regards to this question, what do I do when I sin? Well, David had this wonderful prayer in Psalm 51. He said numerous things in there. Have mercy on me, God, according to your unfailing love. That's a wonderful thing to pray. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost places. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. A wonderful prayer.
Yes.
An amazing prayer. One, it recognizes truth. David knew that his sin was so great that the normal sacrifices that the law required, the bringing of an animal, the shedding of the blood of an animal, was not sufficient to handle his sins.
Mm-hmm.
So he
should have died.
That's exactly right. So he was left with this dilemma. What am I supposed to do? And so he prays this prayer, have mercy on me, O God. If there was any forgiveness, if there was any covering of that sin or taking away of that sin, he knew that was in the hands of God. So he pleads for the mercy of God. And he says, I know my transgressions and my sin is always before me. That was the thing. That was the thing standing in the way between himself and God. And so he says, cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. And then in Psalm 34, he kind of gives a follow-up of that. It's a great psalm. The Apostle Paul actually uses it in Romans chapter 4 in his great discussion about righteousness. So he says there, Psalm 34, or Psalm 32,
32.
Right? Yeah, there it is. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin.
Mm-hmm.
So David prayed for the mercy of God, and he did not withhold his sin. He did not try to cover it up. You know, it's kind of foolish when you think about that,
yeah,
isn't it? You know, I'm going to hide this from God like he doesn't already know. So you bring it forward. That's what confession is, just simply agreeing with God concerning that sin. That's what David did, but he appealed to the mercy of God. Now, this was before the cross. He didn't realize what was going to happen in Jesus. He knew a little bit. He knew a little bit of that story, but he didn't know how it was going to end. We know the end of that story. We know that Jesus was beaten, was just on the face and strapped on the back and all sorts of things. And then he carried his cross and his hands were nailed to the cross and his hands were nailed to a tree and he was suspended between heaven and earth in agony for 3 solid hours. And at that moment, he who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God. The mercy of God was being poured out for mankind right there. Jesus was offering his blood on the mercy seat. And it's that blood that cleanses us from all unrighteousness and forgives us of all sin. And so today, we don't pray this same prayer that David prayed in Psalm 51, cleanse me with hyssop. Why? Because we've been cleansed by the blood. We don't pray, oh Lord, have mercy. We may have before we came to know Christ. I certainly cried that out. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a mess. I'm a wretch. I don't know what to do. So it's up to you to save me. Have mercy on me. And he did in the person of Christ Jesus. I was once an object of wrath, but now I've received mercy. That's the whole argument that Paul makes in the book of Romans. We needed mercy. We've now received it in the person of Christ Jesus. So, Ruth, what God wants us to know is that the mercy seat has been filled with the blood of Jesus. And when we come to him by faith, that mercy that is there is given to us in the form of forgiveness of sins. When we sin today, do we confess those sins? You bet we do. Do we feel sorry knowing the consequence of those actions in the life of somebody else? You bet we do. But do those sins need further forgiveness? Does Jesus need to come and die again in our place? The answer to that is absolutely not. He died once. He died for all sins so that we could be forgiven past, present, and future. And when we receive Christ, we receive that forgiveness of sins.
Yes.
That is the good news of the gospel. My sins have been forgiven on account of his name. That's what John concluded when he looked at the work of Jesus Christ and when he wrote his first letter and he said to the children of God, those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, your sins have been forgiven on account of his name. The blood of Jesus is the very thing that brought about forgiveness. I've been cleansed in the blood, I've been washed in the blood, and I'm telling you, it is a glorious feeling. There's nothing better than knowing that your sins have been forgiven. Now, does that cause us to want to sin?
No, never.
Never. It didn't cause David to want to sin. It changed him, and it changes us even more so. Why? Because now we have God's Spirit living in us, who is renewing our minds, confirming to us that we're children of God, putting brand new desires in our hearts, changing our hearts so that we can actually love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our strength. So this forgiveness thing, knowing that we're totally forgiven, it doesn't lead people to sin. If it does, I don't think they've ever received forgiveness. They're just looking for a rationalization for their own sinful lifestyles. But to those who really receive forgiveness, that forgiveness changes them from the inside out. And it's the best news ever. I said, if you want to know that God really loves you, receive that forgiveness. In my life, that's when I knew that I knew that I knew. As Paul wrote in Romans 8, I'm convinced that nothing can separate me from the love of God. That's where this forgiveness will lead you, to that point of conviction, knowing that nothing can separate you from the love of God. And when you know God loves you, you're more willing to trust him.
Yep.
That's the whole life that God has called us to. Well, Ruth, I appreciate you calling back.
Yes.
Like I said, that means the world to me.
Yes, and those are wonderful passages.
Yes, they
really,
are.
Really good
yes,
stuff.
They are. Well, let's go to Karen in Yonkers, New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Karen.
Hi. Listen, I have a question. The Donnie McClurkin case, I just heard on the radio that he was a gay man and he repented and turned to the Lord, and they wouldn't let him speak at the, Martin Luther King Conference. For one, we have the freedom of speech in the Constitution, and two, if you repent and you don't live a gay lifestyle anymore, then why wouldn't they let him speak? The gay activists came in and told him that he couldn't.
Well, Karen, I don't know all the details of that, but boy, is that a lightning rod today in our society and our culture. Homosexuality, you can't really say anything about it, either good or bad. And that's a shame. We need to be able to talk about these issues openly because, people have questions. Those involved in homosexuality, they're struggling. They have questions. Why is this, this my plight in life? Why am I struggling with this? Is there any way of escape? Should I just embrace this and try to live this out as my identity? And then there's societal issues and political issues and all of these things are masking that problem to the extent that we can't talk about it. And we have groups that will come in and say, no, you can't speak to this. And, other groups trying to push and say, hey, you need to. So it's a volatile issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
And the whole deal, as far as the Bible is concerned and as far as Christianity is concerned, is this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's just truth. That's just the reality.
Right.
And it doesn't matter what the sin is. There are some that are involved in sexual sin. There are some that are involved in other types of sin. We all have a manifestation of this sin of unbelief that comes
right.
out of us. And that proves that we're sinners, that we need
right.
a Savior. And why it's difficult for us to admit that is sometimes hard to understand. But the reason we don't admit it is because of our own pride. We don't want
yeah.
to say that we're in the wrong.
Yes.
Right.
But the truth of the matter is that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and God has a solution in the person of Christ Jesus. And
right.
our problem is even deeper than sins. We're dead spiritually. Something is missing inside of us. We need life. That's what the gospel message is all about. But until we know that we're dead, we'll never turn to Christ for life. And how we know that we're dead is we just look at our lives. We see that there's
yeah.
something wrong with us. There's something missing. And if we will come to that truth, agree with God concerning our condition, then we're primed to receive the solution that He has for us in Christ Jesus. So we've made homosexuality a much bigger issue than it needs to be as far as God is concerned. We just need to recognize truth that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, but we can be justified freely by His grace that has been poured out on us in Christ Jesus, His death, His burial, His resurrection. Well, Karen, we sure appreciate your call today. Let me put you on hold. I'll send you a gift to say thank you for participating, okay? You hold on. Well, Richard, this is Basic Gospel. We want to remind our listeners that this is a listener-supported program. We need your help to continue proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ on these airwaves. If you could make a gift today, we would so greatly appreciate it. You can go to basicgospel.net. All the information on how to make a contribution is right there. Just click the support link. And as our way of saying thank you, we want to send you a copy of a book called Love Is, a book that I wrote. It's a fresh look at the definition of God's love as revealed to us in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, that great definition.
Yeah.
So come alongside of what God is doing through this outreach. We would greatly appreciate. Again, you can do so by going to basicgospel.net or by calling 1-800-727-2828. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We'll see you again tomorrow.